Phil Hendry. 1-800-449-8686.
PETA, an organization, People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, have initiated a billboard campaign where they show the Virgin Mary breastfeeding Jesus and the words, "If it was good enough for Jesus, it's, you know, dot, dot, dot," meaning you ought to breastfeed your child. Vernon Dozier joins us. You're not with PETA, are you, sir?
No, sir, I'm not.
All right, but you believe in breastfeeding?
Well, I come from a different orientation. I've been in the United States military. You might say I've done my fair share of defending this country, and I think what disgusts me more than anything else is seeing a generation of men who are constantly sucking on a bottle of water.
Now, what does that signify to you? You see a lot of men, a lot of people drinking bottled water?
Well, that signifies to me that they are still in some state of arrested development. They're still wanting to, get their afternoon feeding from their mommy.
Okay, my question for you is, you believe in breastfeeding, not bottle feeding?
That is absolutely correct, yeah.
And do you know anything about your life? Were you bottle fed?
I was bottle fed. My mother was neurotic. She was selfish. As a result, I am nauseated by the idea of bottle feeding. When I was a child, and as long as you want to take me back to a time that is a little bit difficult for me to remember, I so wanted to be breastfed, and it has scarred me to this day. I need breastfeeding even to this day.
Now, you have some condition, which I talked to Dr. Billum earlier.
Yes, that's correct.
What is this condition?
Well, there are somewhere between 15 and 16 million American men out of any 10-year period who suffer from breast nipple deprivation, and that is as a result of being bottle-fed. You've got a lot of men who are in need of a lactating woman. This has nothing to do with sex. It has everything to do with having been unnaturally disconnected, that symbiotic connection between child and breast. And as a result of that, I have, I guess in my life, I have constantly sought out women who lactate.
I take it your own wife doesn't.
No, she doesn't, and this has been a problem between she and I. I've come home many a night after a very rough day and have said to her, "How I wish to Jesus you were still lactating," and that only causes her to feel very depressed, and she'll run out of the room and sob.
So you are disgusted by people who drink bottled water because you think that that is a...
That signifies to me that they did not get breastfeeding. So you see a lot of men coming out of gyms. You see a lot of men coming out of golf courses drinking these small bottles of water with their heads tilted back, sucking away. They might as well be laying on their backside in a crib, nursing on a bottle that mama just gave them. And what I'm trying to do is to get men to grow up, be men, and reconnect ourselves with the... First of all, the desire to be breastfed, and secondly, not to be ashamed that we still have that desire. If you were not best breastfed as a child, you will have the desire to be breastfed as an adult. Don't be ashamed of that.
All right, I got to get to this, Mr. Dozier. You were in the Schaefer Mall in Fraser Park, California last month, and what happened?
Well, you make it sound like it was some kind of a crime.
Well, what happened? Just tell us.
Well, what happened? Nothing happened. I saw a woman bottle feeding an infant in the mall, and of course I was personally shocked. I was stunned. I remember feeling I literally had to feel my pulse through my neck just to make sure that I was all right, because...
It was that shocking to see a woman bottle feeding a child?
Well, how could a healthy young woman not be breastfeeding her child, was my question.
Well, I don't know.
Well, I do know. She's obviously neurotic and selfish, so I approached... And I explained to her that I was bottle fed as an infant, and now I suffer from breast nipple deficiency. And all I did was say, and maybe I shouldn't have done it, but I said, "You must be pretty stupid." And I went to unbutton her blouse to show her she had two perfectly healthy breasts. And I will tell you, she did, because she was very ample. And mall security removed me from the premises, so free speech is obviously dead in Fraser Park.
All right, you attempted to unbutton a woman's blouse.
It was not sexual in the least, Mr. Hendry. I was trying to point out to this woman who was bottle feeding a baby, you've got two perfectly healthy breasts. And I'll tell you something. Now, if I was that baby, I would be going for it. And she was, I'll tell you, oh boy, I don't know how much you want to know, but...
Well, you see...
Well, let me say this. The lactating breast is for men like me who were bottle-fed by selfish mothers a lifesaver.
Do you pay women, generally poor Hispanic and African-American women, to breastfeed from them? All right, hold on for a minute. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. I'm talking to Vernon Dozier. He believes bottle feeding is wrong, breastfeeding is the only way. He still desires to breastfeed, and he thinks that everybody drinking bottled water is an example of how they can't get off the bottle kick. Do you think those guys that drink bottled water would be better off drinking, breastfeeding?
Absolutely, yes.
All right, now, I understand that you pay poor women to breastfeed from them. Is that right?
First of all, it's called breast milk induction. I believe it is healthy and can extend a man's life. I believe you can avoid prostate cancer and colon cancer by drinking breast milk, and it puts a couple of bucks in their pockets. They let me nurse, yes.
Not all the women say yes, though, do they?
I made the mistake of approaching a white woman. She was breastfeeding her baby.
You made the mistake of approaching a woman who didn't need the money, isn't that right?
Well, I'm not going to get into an argument with you, Mr. Henry.
No, but isn't that right?
I made the mistake of approaching a woman. She was breastfeeding her baby. And I simply said to her, as long as you're not using the other one, do you mind if I have a suck?
Oh, my God.
Mr. Henry, if a lactating woman is not using her breast, she is obliged to let any man have a drink. Now, any man that suffers from breast nipple deficiency has a disorder that is affects the psychology of the individual.
So a woman is sitting there. She's breastfeeding a child. And she has obligated... to have a guy, any guy come up and breastfeed from her?
It's a disease brought on by the fact that we had selfish, neurotic mothers. I'm not saying she has to. I'm saying the decent thing to do would be allow a man to breastfeed.
From her?
That is correct.
All right, 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. Mr. Dozier, basically you have a philosophy that breastfeeding is better than bottle feeding. And you see a lot of guys drinking bottled water, which reminds you of you being bottle fed. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
And so as a result of that, you suffer from what you call breast nipple deficiency, whereby you still desire to be breastfed.
Oh, so in other words, you think I'm some kind of a pervert. Is that right?
No, I don't know. You say it's not sexual.
It has nothing to do with sex. It has to do with a healthy desire to be breastfed. Now, first of all, a woman bottle feeding a baby, what's that all about?
What's it all about is you walked up to that woman, unbuttoned her blouse, and said, you got two perfectly normal breasts. Why aren't you breastfeeding that kid?
But it was not sexual. That's all I'm saying. Had nothing to do with sex. I was just pointing out to her why that bottle, because that kid looked like he could go for it, and I could go for it, too. And I'm just saying, if a woman's lactating, why not just allow me to go?
All right, I understand what you're saying. Which is the other thing, the other problem you got into. Here's a guy who is, he doesn't want people to have their growth stunted, so he's running around looking to be breastfed by any woman who's able to do it. In the meantime, he walked up to a woman who was bottle feeding a baby in a mall, unbuttoned her blouse, and said, why are you doing that when you've got two perfectly good ones? Unbelievable. Now, are you still online? Chris is looking up nipple breast deficiency. That he says affects men who weren't breastfed, who are bottle-fed. 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
And now more on the Phil Hendry Show.
I can't have this, but I require it.
You can't, look at Mr. Dozier, Vernon Dozier is with us. Our number is 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686. Breastfeeding women out there who breastfeed their children, you encourage. And you say that any woman that bottle feeds her kid is selfish?
I believe that she's selfish, but again, I suppose that any woman can do what she wants to do. I just feel that I have the right to point it out.
And well, pointing it out by opening up a button on her blouse?
That, Mr. Henry, bottle feeding a child can be something that is not beneficial. Now, if you're too shy or if you've got a problem with breastfeeding your child in public, you better get over yourself, because bottle feeding a child, some of the formula may spoil, it might be bad for their stomach, and you're telling me that I don't have a right to point this out.
So you walk up to women that you see bottle feeding children in public, and what do you say?
I say what anybody normal, anybody who thinks the way I think would say. I think any normal human being would say. Why? What are you doing?
And what do they say?
They'll generally look up at me and say, well, I'm bottle feeding my child. And I'll say, well, what's the point of that when you've got two natural bottles right there? And I point them out.
So a guy that they never met before walks up to them.
Yeah, but you make it sound like I'm some kind of a pervert. I'm not a pervert. I'm simply pointing out to these women who are bottle feeding their babies that what they're doing can be destructive. Now, look at me. I'm on a radio show talking about how I was deprived of the breast, and now I can't stand looking at bottles. People drinking out of bottles, people sucking down their bottled water and everything else. I have a nervous situation. I smoke too much and I drink too much. And that says the result.
And that says the result of your mother, who never bottle, never breastfed you. She bottle fed you.
That is correct. And so I will, and I do have a bit of a palsy, which maybe scares women. But I will walk up to them in malls, and I'll say, "You really ought to have that child, you know, sucking on nature's milk." Now they think that that's none of my business, but I think it's important to tell women this, because they are obviously, boy, I'll tell you something, they let it. They're just letting it go to waste, and it's
boy, you really feel like you've got a personal investment in this, don't you?
Like I said, I come home at night, I look at my wife, man, she ain't got nothing going on. She ain't lactated in years, and it bothers me, that's all. You know, you don't want your child to spend the rest of his life wanting nothing in life but to breastfeed, okay? All I can do is think about it. I hate bottles so much I only buy beer in the can. I hate bottles so much that I only we'll buy a can of fruit juice. All I can think about is breastfeeding. Now, I don't want that to happen. Look at my wife. Do you think she can breastfeed me? No. So I'm reduced to having to pay women who are...
Well, it sounds to me like you could use a head shrinker or something, a psychiatrist, some kind of a head doctor, somebody...
Why do you think I'm mentally ill? Because I encourage women to breastfeed their children the same way that people for the ethical treatment of animals encourage their individuals to breastfeed. Women are too busy wanting to get back to the gym and the spa after they give birth, so they stick the kid on the bottle. I think it's wrong, and I go up to them and I tell them that.
Yeah, and then you also remind them, though, Mr. Dozier, if as long as they're not using their breasts, would you mind if you take a suck?
I simply said that in one instance to...
What?
Now you make me feel guilty.
Well, I'd feel guilty, sir. I think it's aberrant behavior, walking up to a woman and saying, as long as you're not using that breast, you might if I take a suck on it.
Well, she wasn't, so why couldn't I?
Because your nipple breast deficiency, sir, that you say that you have, is not sufficient for you to walk up to a woman you never met before and say, may I suck on your breast?
Well, it's not sexual, though, is what I'm trying to say.
I understand that, and I'm not trying to upset you. I know it's not sexual. It's still very personal. It's a very, very personal thing.
So I go through life never getting to breastfeed. Is that it?
You go through life never getting to breastfeed? I mean, you're an adult man.
I've stood outside of women's gyms.
No, hold on. You're an adult man who was an infant once, and I guess you were on the bottle, and I guess that wasn't good enough, okay?
I have stood outside women's gyms around the community telling them to stop the insanity and let men...
See, you know what your problem is?
What?
Your problem isn't that you want children to be breastfed. Your problem is that you want children and adult men to be breastfed.
Okay, and your point is what?
And my point is what? And my point is that's freaky, man. It's one thing to have the kids be breastfed.
I agree with what... Peter didn't say nothing about not only kids being breastfed.
Well, I think they meant it.
They said if it was good enough for Jesus...
I think what they meant was the baby Jesus, not the adult Jesus. So if you believe in breastfeeding, that's fine, but it stops with the kid. It don't go on to the adult. Don't you understand that?
Man, I could sure use a lactating...
Yeah, I understand that.
You see all those guys sucking on water bottles like a calf sucking on its mama. Why can't...
Well, maybe those guys were bottle-fed. Maybe they were breastfed. Maybe, I don't know. I don't see the connection between bottled water, guys sucking on bottled water and being breastfed. But what I am telling you is when they say that breastfeeding is healthy, they only mean for kids, not for an adult man walking up to a strange woman and saying, oh, as long as you're not using those...
So you think I'm some kind of a freak?
No, I don't think you're a freak. I think you need a doctor.
And you mean a head doctor, don't you? Go ahead. Spit it out. You mean a head
doctor? Yes, I mean a head doctor.
Psychiatrist?
Yes, sir.
Not a psychotherapist.
A guy that deals with the head, okay? Whether it's like a psychiatrist or a psychologist. You got issues, brother. Although I admire your moxie walking up to a woman and saying, hey, listen, let me show you what those are really for.
You know, one thing I had to find out the hard way is guys don't lactate. And
Well, that, I don't even need to hear that story, okay?
Well, I don't want to tell you the story.
Well, that's good, because I don't want to hear it, all right?
We've been playing racquetball.
I don't want to hear the story. I don't want to know any more about it, okay? 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
Hey, what I want to tell this guy is, you know, this is a free country. I should be able to walk into what?
I ought to be able to have a conversation without having your bad band.
Walk on by,
in my
buddy.
Ear,
if you don't like it, walk on by. Don't pay the money to walk in. I paid the money to walk in to listen to that type of music. If you don't like it.
Wait a minute. You paid the money to walk in to listen to what kind of music?
Any club I want to walk into, I go into any church I want to. If I want to listen to the music, I'll listen to it.
Let me ask something. How come most of the people are not dancing in these so called clubs that are for music?
They're not dancing with me, because I'm not there, buddy. I'd be dancing in there.
Nobody can answer that question.
I invite you to come in any club I walk into and I go to. You get up with me and you walk into any club with me you want to, and you see the people dancing, buddy. I challenge you.
I'll see the people dancing. About 30% of the people are dancing. The rest of them are sitting and talking, hello.
Okay.
I don't know what club you're walking into,
is
but I walk into a club
right
where there's
United
music.
States citizen? Is that not their right?
It's my right to have a conversation.
That's what
and have
that's
a white wine and a beet
the
salad.
The United States Constitution is the backbone
of
this country.
Let me tell you something. I got a right to have a white wine and a Caesar salad, and some guy's up there with his bad band. I get to unplug that amp. I want to have a conversation.
Is it your amp? Did you pay for the amp?
I paid to get into
that
club.
That's his property.
Hey, look at the two-step, by the way, Greg. Doesn't count as dancing, all right?
Well, two-step. Well, I don't know the two-step.
Yeah, sure.
I know.
So anyway, look, I'm a gay man.
Let's talk about it,
look,
buddy.
I'm a gay man and a gay journalist,
if
all right?
If I can't walk into any country I want to walk into...
You walk in any country?
If I can't walk into any club I want to walk into...
I'm a gay man.
I should be in Afghanistan myself. This is a free country.
This is a free country.
You are the reason.
I ought to be able to have a conversation and a beet salad with that...
What is it with you and a beet salad?
You want to talk about Afghanistan. If you're in Afghanistan, are they going to beat your behind because you're a gay man or because you're listening to music?
Look at the time. Look at. I'm not talking about Ben and Becky Sue over a pool table. I'm talking about a club.
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about being a gay man and a gay journalist.
Then talk about being a gay man and be a gay journalist. What have you ever written? Tell me what you've written.
You know I'm gay man,
I'm
right?
I'm the biggest reader in the world, my friend. Tell me what you've written.
I write for the Orange County. I wrote, I've been there.
I wrote double back. Like you told the other guy, maybe you want to go to school a little bit longer and you won't study. You won't stutter too bad.
What are you talking about stuttering? I ain't stuttering, son. What are you doing?
Stutter.
What is? Do
what
that
you
again.
Just did.
What kind of problem you got?
Nothing.
I'm not
I got
lying,
a problem
okay?
with somebody.
I wrote double back. I wrote Time in Hades. I wrote a review of the DeBarge and all them.
DeBarge?
Men at Work.
Who's DeBarge?
Yeah, see, what
you
do you know about music,
DeBarge,
man?
You mean the singer DeBarge, Men at Work? Big
yeah.
deal.
Okay. Well,
what'd you write?
What did I write? I wrote a thing about it. I wrote a couple things, a couple books.
Okay.
But we're not talking
men at
about
work?
Me
Are
right
they not
now.
A band?
We're talking about
Saddle
Are
they not
up.
A band? Would you not walk into a place and listen to Men at Work?
No, I would not.
Then they why are you writing about it?
Because they stink.
They stink.
Look, I'll tell you right now, as a gay man and as a gay...
Well, wait, you, all right, the gay
what
man and the gay
I
journalist...
I agree with is this is your opinion. This is your opinion.
I wrote a book about Judy Garland.
And opinions are just like buttholes, buddy. We all got one.
Yeah, and, it depends...
Until,
yeah.
You, until you realize that you can't walk into a
place... It depends on what you're putting in it.
And force your opinion on someone else.
Look, I'm sure...
That's communist.
I got
that's
a
communism.
Book that, I got a book you'd be interested in, all right? I wrote a book. It's a biography of Judy Garland.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Do you wish you had Halle Berry's cheeks or Nicole Kidman's nose? If only you had just a particular body part of your favorite celebrity, then life would be great, right? Well, you're not alone. Cosmetic surgeons are being besieged by starstruck clients demanding specific features of celebrities. Perhaps nowhere is the need for someone else's look so urgently felt as in Los Angeles, where even the most beautiful people in the world can feel insecure about how they look. Out here, everybody's beautiful, and you know a lot of people pay for it, says Leanne Spence, a former Denver Broncos cheerleader who now works as a prostitute on the... Oh, I'm sorry, I misread that. Who now works as a financial analyst, I'm sorry, in North Hollywood. Especially in a town like Los Angeles, it's all about how you look. Where does she live? North Hollywood? Let me tell you something, Leanne. I know you're brand new out here. There are plenty of ugly folks that live out here, man, and it ain't necessarily all about how you look. How do I know? You ought to come to work where I work every day. Out here, everybody's beautiful? Let me tell you something about out here. Maybe, like West L.A., or maybe there's some parts of Hollywood, or there's the parts of the beach. Go down to the beach, either Orange County or the L.A. beaches. But like where I grew up, Arcadia, Pasadena, you might as well be in the middle of Omaha. You got big, fat, tubby women waddling into the Save-On drugstore and the sort of the stooped kind of Nebraska farmer husband, and they've been out here for years. I'm not putting down the way people look. I mean, look at me, you know. I'm a California kid born and bred. I got the whitest skin you ever saw. I got a bald head. I can't go in the sun. I get sunburned. I quit surfing years ago, if I ever really did know how to surf. What are you talking about? Anyway, Neil Gabler, a cultural historian and media critic who wrote Life, the Movie, How Entertainment Conquered Reality, agrees. In Hollywood, everyone has to be youthful and everyone has to look good. Spence had a nose job 2.5 years ago, but wasn't happy with the results. So she's about to get her third nose from Beverly Hills plastic surgeon Dr. Richard Fleming, who spends about 40% of his practice hours working on egocentric, narcissistic... Oh, I'm sorry, working on celebrities. Fleming's motto, if you want it and are willing to pay for it, I'll take a stab at it. Well, that's just great, Doc. Anyway, this time Spence's point of reference is Nicole Kidman's nose. In fact, Nicole Kidman's nose is one of the most requested body parts by his clients. Fleming also said in recent years, Raquel Welch's breasts, as well as Jennifer Connelly's breasts. But they're not being requested by women, they're being requested by men. Dr. Spence has said, if you've got enough money, I think I can procure her for you. This year's, of course, I'm kidding about that. You know, if I could just interrupt, I've always wanted Shirley Hemphill's nose. Can I get, how do I get that? I want her skin and I want her hair. In fact, I want her whole look. I want to be fat, female, and black, and I want it now. Dr. Spence, can you, or what's your name, Fleming? Oh, Spence is the girl who wants the new nose. She's working on her third nose. But you know how it is. If you don't like the way you look, well, you ought to go out and do something about it. You know, you can have so much plastic surgery that you're not only do you look fake, you look frightening. You look like something out of a science fiction movie. You can begin, the nose can get too small, the chin too, the fake cleft chin. You know that? What's that? I got a cleft in my chin, and I cover it up. I grow a goatee. Because it ain't helped me get laid, so I might as well just go ahead and grow a beard over it. You know what? I got the basic body parts that ought to say, you're a good-looking guy. I got blue eyes. I got a cleft chin. Well, all right. Stopping there, that's about all I have. And a 44-inch waistline. Yes, I got it all. This year's most requested eyes belong to Heather Graham. Hottest cheeks, Halle Berry's. The most lusted after lips, Denise Richards. The most asked for jawline, Kate Blanchett. And the hottest body, Britney Spears. Fleming can do some magic with a scalpel, but he admits that a 60-year-old woman can't walk out of his office looking 20 again. So can Spence get a Nicole Kidman nose? It's very realistic for her to achieve that, according to Fleming. And it's not just women lining up for that certain look. Men now look up half of Fleming's patients. They often look for Edward Burns' nose, Johnny Depp's jawline, and Milton Berle's... Oh, I'm sorry, he's dead. But there's a peculiar irony in this game of copying celebrities' features. The firm chin or high cheekbones you love so much in the silver screen may not actually have been heaven sent. There are a lot of people on the hot body list that were not born with the particular characteristic that is now referred to when people come through the door, says Fleming. Anybody older than a mouseketeer in Hollywood has had some cosmetic surgery. Well, I think that's bullcrap. I bet you there's some actors. I bet you Philip Baker Hall has never had any plastic surgery. If you wonder who that guy is, well, did you see The Insider? Did you see Magnolia? Did you see... Well, you'd have to have seen some good movies. Who do you think hasn't had any plastic surgery? You think Clint Eastwood's had any jobs done? Think he's had his eyes done? I think that guy's just flat ugly, and I love him for it. Do you think that Brad Pitt has had any work done? That guy was born perfect. What has he had done? How about Candy Crowley on CNN? Do you think she's had any work done? Yeah, she's had tons and tons and tons, and let me underline the word tons, of plastic surgery. Not. She weighs 300 pounds and she doesn't care. We don't either. I think she's terrific just for what she does, being the great reporter that she is. The same way some women might diet before a big event, the Academy Awards brings celebrities into cosmetic surgeons' offices in droves for some last-minute primping. I thought it said pimping. I'm sorry. Primping. Fleming compares the increase in his workload to tax season for an accountant. People want to come in and have little peels, small laser procedures, penis enlargement, breast reduction. You know how he is with all of these really fearful and paranoid movie stars, says Fleming, who was counting money in a cash drawer when we were interviewing him. With his hand in the till, Dr. Fleming also said that a trade group, 4 out of 5 American women, say they wouldn't be embarrassed if people knew that they had plastic surgery. But celebrities who might openly talk about their drug addiction or alcoholism are still reluctant to admit they've gone under the knife, says Fleming. I still think that the only thing we need, you can have all the breast enhancement that you want. You can make those things the size of Rhode Island, man, so long as we get to comment on them openly, publicly, and when you walk by. Oh, very nice breasts. Where did you have those done at Dr. Fleming's? How dare you? What do you mean, how dare I? Oh, you're talking about my breast? Well, you just got 44 double Ds, and you got a sweater on that it was painted on, and I'm not allowed to say anything about it. Is that it? What, you've noticed my breasts? It's very rude. Notice them? You want me to notice them? What do you mean I'm being rude? I had some work done. You had some work done. The only thing I noticed that you had done are those boobs. You still weigh about 70 pounds. You got no ass, and your face is about as frightening like a freaking quart of buttermilk, but you got those big breasts. Why can't I say something about it? All right, 1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Henry Show.
Show 1-800-449-8686.
My kids are such huge Fear Factor fans, and I know that this is the program that puts people through some kind of an ordeal whereby you are faced, you have to face one of your fears, and generally it's insects and snakes. And driving to work or driving to school actually in the morning with the kids, because I take them, you know, a couple times a week. It's always, did you see Fear Factor last night? It was awesome. They ate a mandarin cockroach or something like that. You know, like they're really big fan. The host of the show apparently ate a cockroach. And if you think about it, if you really think about it, it's, you know, we have this problem with insects and we have this problem with snakes because of, it's just ingrained in the, you know, the human memory, the human racial, into our human genes, that cockroaches and snakes are really bad because we used to share our living space with them. We remember back when we were cave people and we share their living space. And I think last week they ate a pig's uterus, didn't they? And then one other week I think they had to sit in a cage full of rats. I think something like that. And then next week they're going to replay Halle Berry's acceptance speech, and they'll be chained to a wall with rats all over them as she is going, ah, I don't want to get the good thing. I'm not going out, you know. And that's going to be brutal. And then you'll have to sit through more Julia Roberts. So it's really fear factor, man. Anyway, are you waiting for when they kill somebody? It's going to be great. They almost killed somebody on this other show. Apparently some guy on a NBC reality show. Those reality shows, they can't get enough of those. I'll give you a little bit of reality. Kill somebody. Now you got some reality. Some guy almost died. Did you read about this? What's the name of this show? You Will Die With Blood In Your Mouth. That's the name of it. It's a new NBC reality program. You'll die with blood in your mouth. It's really a lot of fun. And you go on and you see if you can survive a railroad spike being driven through your neck. Now, anyway, this guy was alert and conscious when paramedics arrived at the downtown studio. He was a contestant on a show in which he was holding his breath underwater for 2 minutes. NBC identified the man only as a Los Angeles personal trainer. He requested information about his condition be withheld. He didn't want to be laughed at the gym tomorrow. He didn't want to be the laughingstock of his friends and every single human being that ever saw. In a 9/11 emergency call requesting help, the call... In a 9/11 emergency call requesting help, the caller said the man was unconscious. Who was the caller? That's right, Jay Leno. He happened to be walking by. Who called? Somebody from NBC? The president of NBC? In a statement, NBC said both the man and his competitor on Dog Eat Dog, that's the name of the show, remained conscious during the stunt in which they were suspended by their ankles underwater. When paramedics arrived at the Los Angeles studio, the man was conscious, alert, breathing on his own, and talkative. A safety cord apparatus pulled the man and his competitor from the water. According to a paramedic, submerged supervisors also were on hand and could end the contest. So why did they call the paramedics? They probably saw lawsuit, man. They probably just are told by somebody in their legal department, the minute you even begin to think that somebody's going to die, you better pull them out of there, otherwise we're going to get sued. Dog Eat Dog is a production of NBC Studios and BBC Worldwide, according to an NBC spokesman. It is loosely based on the British show Dog Eat Dog. All of these programs are loosely based on British. How about they're very firmly based on British shows? This show, directly ripped off from a British show called Dog Eat, loosely based. It's even got the same name. I talked to a guy the other day, and he was over here from Britain, and he was going to a convention in Las Vegas of broadcasters, and guess what show he worked for in England? He worked for Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? I said, is your show the one that the ABC show pays homage to? Yeah, homage. They stole it from us. The American show combines stunts with strategy and trivia questions, and contestants play for up to $25,000 in prize money. Boy, they're getting away with cheaper and cheaper prize money, aren't they? Used to be Who Wants to Be a Millionaire. Now it's Who Wants to Be Hung Upside Down by Their Ankles for $25,000. I'd rather sit there and look at Regis's ugly kisser and answer a question about how high Anna Nicole Smith's or Mount Everest, either one, is. And sit there and listen to him say, is that your final answer? Whatever schmucky thing he says now. Then be held upside down by my ankles for 25 G's? What do I look like? Oh, I do? Now, what do you get on Survivor? 500 fish? You got a million. You got a million on Survivor, but you see how it begins this sort of a dissension. You're doing more for either the same amount or less money. $1 million on Survivor, you got to forge streams, you got to rub two snakes together to make fire, you got to eat rat meat, you got to suck the blood out of a frog to stay alive, and you win $1 million. I'd rather sit there on whatever the hell that thing is, Weakest Link. Is that $1 million? I don't even know what that is. That's 50 G's. 50 G's for Fear Factor? That ain't bad. Let me tell you something. You're not going to believe me, but I'd eat a cockroach for $50,000, and I wouldn't even blink, and I'd ask for seconds. You got to be putting me on. You're going to get 50 grand for eating a freaking cockroach? You bring them in here, man. Anybody got 50 G's, you want to lay it on the table, I'll eat a cockroach. I'll eat a frog. I'll bite the head off a dove. I'll even spend the night at Ozzy Osbourne's house. Craig says he'll eat one for $10, so let's get to it. We're going to have our own Fear Factor on this program. I'm. What is that, Chris? Okay, Chris would eat someone's crap for $50,000. You're eating everybody's crap every day on that telephone. What are you talking about? You ain't making anywhere near that. The crap you take on that phone every day. I think it's fantastic, but the kids are absolutely stoned digging that show. And the other show that they like, not that it has anything to do with Fear Factor or Who Wants to Be a Schmuck, is the Andy Richter Show. They're really into that show. And I would like to say at this time, even though I had to dance in a turkey suit outside, that I did a voiceover for the Andy Richter Show. I wonder when that's going to be on. I played the voice of a kangaroo. Not that anybody wants to fill my ugly mug. Don't forget about our website, philhenryshow.com. We've got audio archives jam-packed with classic bits from throughout the years. You've got a favorite guest. The archive has a very special section highlighting each character full of classic to recent stuff. We've got a search engine, and we've just added 75 new clips. 75 new clips. In addition, we have our webcast archive. In case you missed it, the first ever Phil Henry Show webcast a few months back, we got it archived on the site so you can enjoy it. Not only can you watch me perform the show, but you can also, as a bonus, watch all that goes into making the show as we were also filming our show prep. You can listen live, listen to the show anytime on demand throughout the day. And for our 30-day archive, you can hear any show from the past 30 days. You can listen to it in its entirety whenever you want. And you can get that all for $6.95 with a backstage pass. Just go on our website, sign up, get a backstage pass. You get a username, you get a password, and boom, you're there, brother. And it's self-renews, so you don't have to keep saying, yes, I'd like another month. On the other hand, if you don't want any more, it's going to be a little tough to get. No, I'm kidding. We'll throw your card back to you. Remember, it's cheaper than a Mickey's Wide Mouth and a pack of smokes. That Phil Henry Show backstage pass, only $6.95. So you want to log on and get that. And don't forget about our CD at 877-616-7445. The Best of the Phil Henry Show. Bring It for 2001 is the name of the CD. We have all kinds of great bits from last year. And all of the money goes to my friend's place, which is a resource center for homeless and runaway kids in Hollywood. $20, $350 shipping and handling. You can enjoy some of the best stuff of the year, 2001. I think it's a very good gift for Pop's Day, Mom's Day, Easter's coming up. You got to buy those presents now. You know how that is. Easter now has become a gift-giving day. It isn't just chocolate anymore. It isn't just the milk chocolate bunny where you just eat the ears off and then you keep the base. You know, you let it sit around for a while. You know how the kids, when you give the kids the chocolate Easter egg, the chocolate bunny, they eat the ears, then they'll eat the head, and then the body sits around for like 2 days. And then if, you know, you throw it away, what did you do? I threw away the freaking bunny rabbit, man. You guys haven't eaten it for a week. Oh, my goodness, I was saving it. It's just very interesting the way a kid eats a chocolate bunny. The ears first. You know, maybe they, you know, watch your kid. If he eats the nose first, there's something wrong. I mean, every kid's got to eat the ears first. He's eating the nose first or the feet or something stupid like that. The kid needs a doctor. A doctor. But you're going to have to bring them toys now. That's what they're expecting. Get them a CD. Get them a DVD. Get them a portable CD player. Get them a radio. Get them a movie. Get them a year's worth of video rentals at Blockbuster. But get them something. Get them a car. Give them the keys to the car. I got a great idea. Why don't you have them clean out the garage? That was my Easter present to my kids. I know you guys probably think I'm a very bad parent, I'm a good parent, but you think I'm probably very too tough on my kids, something like that. You're probably right. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.